As we prepare to enter into a time of prayer, you may notice that we have two prayer quotes. Please take time after this service to tie a knot and say a prayer and sign the cards for each of them. I also pray that Missy gets a water bottle that doesn't leak and that everyone here is filled with the living water. And won't you please now join me in an attitude of prayer? Gracious, loving, and merciful God, we are thankful you choose us to be part of your family. Our Ash Wednesday snow reminded us of your awesome power and beauty of your creation. The slowly falling snow reminds us of how you cover us with a blanket of love and mercy. Each unique snowflake reminds us that you made us unique to work together in your name. Ice and snow-covered roads remind us to trust in you when traveling life's treacherous paths. Our everyday struggles can send us spinning down a slippery slope if we don't hold on to you. We can become discontented with work, relationships, and ourselves as we approach each day. News of the day can become noise of the day when it leads down a trail of growing anxiety. Coronavirus stories create compassion for others, just as they do distress for our own well-being. Huge stock market losses lead to fear for the future as savings seem to evaporate before our eyes. Accounts of natural disasters, terrible tragedy, and senseless violence can be unsettling. We need your comforting, healing, and loving presence to bring peace into our lives. Remind us to pass your peace in actions of love for our families, friends, and neighbors. We are truly poor in spirit and incomplete without our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Comfort us as we recognize our need for Jesus, who sacrificed himself for our sins. Hear us now as we humbly express our gratitude and concerns through silent prayer. Lord, we are not an obedient people, separating ourselves from you and leaving us incomplete. Help us become whole as Jesus showed the way and taught us the prayer we now say together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
As I was pre-reading the scripture lesson today, which is John chapter 4, verses 4 to 15, I was trying to figure out what the woman was feeling at the well. And I kind of interpreted it as she was shy or not sure of who this person she was talking to. So that's how I'm going to read it. But if you think she was an assertive, aggressive person, you hear it that way. Now, he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar. near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone to town to buy some food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews did not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you the living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, and also as did his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water that I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Liz. I agree with you. Well done. One thing that I so appreciate about this congregation and returning after a week away is wonderful worship leadership, from our technicians in the back to our music leadership to those who come and lead here as liturgists and hosts and come so prepared. And it is just such a blessing. Thank you. Thank you so much. It may be that if you weren't here last week, you may be feeling a little bit of whiplash with Kelly's announcement. So I just wanted to remind you, especially if you weren't here last week, and we are sending out letters, that Pastor Bob Fuchs has been reappointed and will be going to Downriver UMC. His first Sunday is July 1st there. Lots of changes coming, but I truly believe that this congregation will continue to be blessed, and I'm very, very excited. Let us pray. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. This is the first Sunday in Lent. We have the 40 days of Lent and then the Sundays within those 40 days. And it is a time traditionally in the church where we practice self-examination. As individuals, as a community of faith, we take time intentionally to be in conversation with God, to wait on God, and to prepare ourselves for a time of reconciliation and resurrection at Easter. This is a time that allows us to recognize the significance of the gift of Easter. Now, a lot of people will talk about giving up something at Lent. And the reason that we give things up is so that we find more space to be in relationship with God. So my hope is that if you are giving up something, and I've heard from a few people who have some very specific practices for this season, that as a part of giving up, you're using that as space to be in connection with God or an opportunity to give glory to God. If you're giving up something that offers you more time, then use that time to be in prayer or in service. If you are giving up a meal a week or something like that and fasting, you can use that feeling of hunger to think on how we hunger for God to fill us. Also, if you're giving up something that costs something, you may take the money you might have spent on that and use it for God's glory in some way. I would also suggest that you might think not only about what you're not doing, and also think about what you're taking up as a practice. So being in worship every Sunday during Lent is in the tradition of our Wesleyan founder. It is a way that we can find the grace of God. There are other practices that can lead us to that. We can take up prayer time and spiritual reading, being in study with people. I do offer this opportunity. We are studying as a whole church a book called Mosaic, when God uses all the pieces. And I invite you to consider being a part of this study. There are groups that meet every day. You'll find that listing in the bulletin and online. But in addition, if none of those work for you, you can pick up this book and you can use it as your own personal devotional during Lent. Each Sunday reading has to do with the worship series, and so you'll hear preaching on that particular topic. And then there are scripture readings and questions, just a few through the week. So I invite you to be a part of that. What our series is talking about this Lent is being made whole. We understand as Christians that we come to God as broken people. There has been sin in our lives. There are mistakes that we've made. We have regrets on a daily basis. Even when we don't want to, there are ways that we pull away from God and even ways that we hurt one another. Lent is our time to seek all of those broken pieces coming together. Think about stained glass. Think about mosaics. Think about those places where pieces that seem to be fragments come together to make a beautiful whole. That is God's intention for us, that we, even in our brokenness, might be made whole. In John 10, Jesus is talking about being the shepherd, and he said this, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." Jesus gave his life for us, and this is what we recognize now, so that we might have life abundantly, have it absolutely fully, and that we might be made whole. So, in this fractured life, we may find ourselves restless, in rebellion, full of regrets, burdened by responsibilities, or harmed by rejection. We're going to talk about those topics and how God can take what's broken in us and bring reconciliation and resurrection through Jesus Christ. So today, we're going to begin by talking about restlessness. Now, you may have heard of restless leg syndrome. You do not have to reveal whether you have it or not, but perhaps some of you have known someone like this, maybe not even diagnosed, but you can think of who this person is. There are people that there might be an itch, a pain, a discomfort, a pull in their limbs, most often their legs, and they find relief by moving their legs. So you might be that person, you may know someone like that, but this is an actual condition that affects, according to the National Sleep Foundation, about 10% of the population in the United States. It is something that can occur when women are pregnant. It is more prevalent in people who are over 45, and sometimes it's part of a neurological condition, and a lot of times there's no particular direct path to why people have it, but it's a feeling that people have. Well, if there's restless leg syndrome, some people have asked, why can't there be restless life syndrome? So I looked this up online, and there are a few people who talk about restless life syndrome, a kind of a tongue-in-cheek diagnosis. One line that I heard to describe it is that our lives are a cauldron of continuous action. Maybe you can name those days when your life is a cauldron of continuous action. And there seems to be a restlessness as you run from one thing to the other. The calendar is jam-packed, and there seems to be little chance of reflection and little opportunity of rest from place to place. In this, we can find ourselves with an emptiness and a dissatisfaction, because restlessness can certainly be physical, but restlessness can also be a feeling of the heart, of the soul. And we find ourselves without satisfaction, almost feeling empty, even in the activities of our lives. Nikki Tebbe, a blogger, put it this way, "It's like restless leg syndrome, but it's your soul feeling like something is missing. It's your soul feeling like it's not quite at peace, it's not calm." And so we think that more movement, more moving and activity will somehow bring us satisfaction. Well, today, Liz has read a story which embodies restlessness in many ways. And so I want to talk, first of all, about a social restlessness. And if you've studied this scripture, you've heard sermons on it in the past, these observations may be somewhat familiar. Jesus and his disciples were walking along on the road to Jerusalem. They'd taken a surprising way, and they were going through Samaritan territory. The Jews and the Samaritans did not get along. They were hungry, so Jesus rested beside a well, and the disciples went into town to find something to eat. While they were doing that, a woman came to the well at midday. This was quite surprising. Midday was not when people would go to a well in this desert-like region of present-day Israel. It was more likely, especially women, that they would come as a group from the villages and the towns to the well together in the morning to share words of greeting and perhaps of gossip before the day's chores began. And yet this woman came by herself. And to her surprise, she found Jesus sitting there. We already sense a social restlessness with her because she doesn't seem to have connection with her community. She is by herself. Something isn't quite right. And then to find this man, who is not a Samaritan, a stranger, sitting by the well, throws her off, and there is more restlessness. To make things more awkward, Jesus actually speaks to her. He is speaking to a Samaritan, he is speaking to a woman, neither of which is a custom. He shouldn't be doing it, he does. And she responds. So there's this social awkwardness, this kind of thing that isn't quite right. And Jesus asks, "Will you give me a drink?" This is a difficult and surprising thing, because what happens is they move from this social restlessness, this awkward state, to a theological conversation which speaks to a restlessness of the soul. It would be as if you were standing in Meijer in the checkout line and someone behind you asked you some deep theological question and you got into a conversation, you know, about the existence of God or something. It's not normally what you expect to happen when you're doing your everyday chores. And yet, that's what happened. And so socially restless became spiritually restless. And this is the transition. She says, "How are you going to get this water?" He talks about giving her living water, and she talks about the well itself. The well was given by Jacob, and as the woman shares, this is a well given by Jacob, and it was used by his sons and by their livestock. Now we listen to that, and we say, well, isn't that quaint history? Maybe they should put up a historical plaque. But listen to kind of this real background. Jacob is one of the patriarchs, the fathers of Israel. In fact, Jacob's other name is Israel. And Israel had 12 sons. Those 12 sons became the tribes of Israel. So when the woman at the well says, "This is the well that Jacob gave," what she's saying is, this is the well that is from our very beginnings. This is the well of our people. And all of our people have come here. This is how we are nurtured, by our traditions, by our beginnings. And Jesus, sitting there beside the well, offers an alternative. Could there be something even greater than their beginnings in connection with those 12 tribes? So, what happens is that Jesus says, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give will never be thirsty." What he suggests to her is that there can be an end to spiritual restlessness. There can be an end to a dissatisfaction of the soul, a disconnect from God the Creator, and any kind of emptiness that we feel. What we learn in this story is that Jesus is willing to meet us at the well, at the wells where we seek satisfaction, the wells where we go to find wholeness in this life. They may have to do with things that we enjoy. They might have to do with practices or behavior, those wells, or they might be wells of relationship from which we draw. And Jesus is willing to go and sit by those wells, whether they are new in our lives or they are historic, and to meet us there. And we also learn in this scripture that this woman was ready for rest for her soul. She wants living water. She desires that she find that rest. Now, Jesus goes on to ask her some questions. He says, "Go call your husband and come back." And you may remember this section. She says, "I have no husband." And Jesus said, "You're right to say this because you've had five husbands, and the man you're with is not your husband. So you have spoken correctly." I love this part because a lot of people want to go there and they want to just start saying what this woman is like and adding kind of story that's not there. The truth is, we don't exactly know how this happened, and there are all kinds of ways that it could have happened that she's in this situation. And we also find in this scripture that there's absolutely no judgment. That Jesus just goes and sits there. And when he talks about the living water, and the woman says, "I want this water," he begins to talk to her about that all people will come together and they will worship in one place on the holy mountain and they will be unified. And the woman says, "I know that the Messiah, the Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." And then Jesus says, "I who speak to you am he." Now, this is significant for those who are Bible studiers, who love the Word of God. This is something you perk up your ears when Jesus uses an I am statement, because back when God was speaking to Moses from a burning bush, and Moses said to him, "Who am I to say is sending me to talk to the Pharaoh? What's your name?" And God said to him, "I am who I am. I am." And so when Jesus starts to use the I am words, like "I am the bread of life, I am the living water, I am the truth and the life and the way," he is offering us a glimpse of God. And so in this moment, as he says, "You say Messiah, I say I am," the woman gets a glimpse of the divine, and it is amazing. Check out what she does. She had brought her bucket to the well to get water. Specifically in the scripture, it says she left her bucket behind and she ran for the village. Now imagine, as she's running for the village, the disciples are coming back with their food, you know, some bread under their arms, I don't know, you know, piece of meat. They're coming back with the food they got. And just think about this, that those disciples who have been walking with Jesus Christ have theoretically had their souls filled, go into town, and they say nothing about who they're traveling with. This woman, who is in some kind of societal restlessness that she can't even connect with people, forgets about the water, runs back into town, and she starts to shout, "You've got to come and meet this man. He knows everything about me." In the Gospel of John, the woman at the well is the first evangelist. She is the first person to bring good news to people. It's an amazing position, and it comes because she finds her soul filled, that restlessness is gone. Now, restlessness is a natural order of life. In these next 3 months, I know personally I'm going to feel some restlessness as I trip over, which I am already, cardboard boxes in our house. As I'm sorting through my theological library and what I can take with me, which is not very much, and what has to be given away. A restlessness of what is my identity now and what will my identity be in 3 months when I can't say I am the pastor here at this church. Perhaps this whole community feels a sense of restlessness in the midst of this transition. But we've all been there, haven't we? Restlessness as we wait for big events to change our lives in ways. Restlessness after a doctor's test as we wait for the results. Restlessness as we wait for a loved one to make a decision that is better than the decisions that they're making. The restlessness is part of our lives, and I truly believe that God puts into our hearts a restlessness, a longing for God. Physical restlessness can leave us disconnected in relationships and less focused and less productive. We can lose desire and energy and a passion. We can be a people who wander away from those who support us in our restlessness. And the same is true with the restlessness of our souls. As we struggle to fill an emptiness, and we try to do it without our Lord, as we struggle to find answers that will make us whole and don't lean on Jesus Christ to piece us together, our relationships can suffer. We can find ourselves less passionate, less focused, and we can find ourselves wandering from the very one who loves us deeply and cares for us most of all. The woman said to Jesus, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty, and I have to keep coming here to draw water." This woman had a holy encounter with Jesus Christ. And she leaves us with the challenge as well. What wells do we travel to in an effort to fill our souls? And where will we go to be whole? The good news is that God, as Jesus Christ, goes and sits by those wells and waits for us. This is what Shane Stanton said. Shane Stanton is the author of our all-church study, Mosaic. He said, "God does not leave us to our restlessness. God can use our restlessness to address our condition, circumstances, and lack of focus. God provides a new path and destination. God can redirect." This is what Jesus told his disciples, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Jesus offers the opportunity for us to take the things that have left us uneasy and restless and to give them and to find wholeness in Christ. But more than that, in verses 29 and 30 of this passage, Jesus talks about, "Come to me and take on my yoke, because my yoke is easy and light." And you might think, "Oh my gosh, I'm not going to put on some big piece of wood like an oxen would and walk around with." But here's the thing, is that a yoke is something that pairs a team, that keeps the team of animals together, and it is the guiding force. Jesus says, "Come and take on my yoke. You will team with me. You will team with brothers and sisters in Christ, and you will find this yoke is not a burden, but will guide your paths and bring you into wholeness." I was working with the staff this week. We were studying this understanding of restlessness, and one staff member shared that right now in her life, there is a guiding text, Psalm 46:10, which says, "Be still and know that I am God." It's an idea of resting wholly in God and there finding rest. This is what happens, and we have the opportunity to do during this Lenten season, is to understand that Jesus desires to gather up the fragments of our lives, the places that are broken, the places that are spinning out of control, and to make something whole and beautiful out of that. So this is the challenge for this first Sunday in Lent. I invite you to just think about the wells from which you drink. The wells of relationship and activity, of the obligation, the wells of recreation and entertainment, and to ask at each of those wells, is this filling me up? Is this where I need more? And then today, I invite you to imagine that at all of those wells, as you name them, this might be your lunch conversation, as you name these wells, imagine Jesus sitting there waiting. What would Jesus offer? How would Jesus help us to find rest in the midst of our restlessness? St. Augustine, a 4th century father of the faith, wrote a prayer, and in the midst of his prayer, he said this: "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you." This Lenten season, we have the opportunity to turn to God who desires reconciliation and resurrection and wholeness for us, and to find that for our restless hearts. Let us pray. Lord, you know the places where we have gone to drink. Some have filled us up and give us satisfaction, and others leave us empty. Bring us to the well of your Spirit. We desire that living water that will make us whole. Amen.